I want to start with two different readings. The first is a scripture reading from Romans, chapter 12, verses 3 through 13. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Hear now these words. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone, among you not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all members have the same function, so we are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and extend hospitality to strangers. May we add blessing and meaning to the reading of these words. I want to read a short quote from Jean Vanier from his book, Community and Growth, where he has this to say. One of the marvelous things about community is that it enables us to welcome and help people in a way that we couldn't as individuals. When we pool our strength and share the work and the responsibility, we can welcome many people, even those in deep distress, and perhaps help them find self-confidence and inner healing. David.
I'm going to play Love Me Tender by Elvis Presley. Thanks.
This morning is entitled Why Spiritual Community Matters. So for those of you who might not have heard, I think most of you have, we have signed a letter of intent for the purchase of our building and expect a contract within a couple of weeks. But it's going to be months before we move out, or likely even be next year. But one of the things that we need to think about is how much effort it is going to take from each of us maintain our community during the time that they are renovating this space, and then we move back in. Now, considering that, I think that it would do us all a bit of good if we considered the importance of spiritual community. After all, when Jesus was ready to start his ministry, what was the very first thing he did? He intentionally created community, going down to the shoreline and saying, "Follow me." Author and educator and activist Parker Palmer says that we are called to community, to a mutually supportive, empowering, and accountable life together. He says that we know that from the Bible, and that we know that from Christian tradition, and that we know that from the yearnings of our own hearts. Now, he goes on to say that today the heart's call to community is amplified by the practical need of community in our lives. In this time of dwindling resources, we need to share. In this time of dangerous social tensions, he says, we need to cooperate and celebrate. And in this time of political madness, we need to support each other's sanity. And you might expect, spiritual community is important in other spiritual movements as well, not just in Christianity. In Buddhism, it's called Sangha. And Sangha is a community of friends practicing the Dharma together in order to bring about and to maintain awareness. The essence of a Sangha is awareness, understanding, acceptance, harmony, and love. And according to Thich Nhat Hanh, Sangha is more than just a community. It is a deep spiritual practice. He goes on to say, the presence of a Sangha, and you can think spiritual community when I say Sangha, is a wonderful opportunity to allow the collective energy of the Sangha to penetrate into your body and consciousness. We profit, he says, a lot from that collective energy. Although we can rely on the energy of mindfulness that is generated in our own personal practice, sometimes that's just not enough. But if you know how to use that energy of mindfulness in order to receive the collective energy of the Sangha, you will have a powerful source of energy for your transformation and for your healing. He understands the Sangha this way. It's sort of a beautiful image. Your body, your consciousness, and your environment are, well, they're like a garden. There may be a few trees and bushes that are dying. And you may feel overwhelmed and anguish and suffering at the sight of that. You may actually even be unaware that there are still many trees in your garden that are solid, vigorous, and beautiful. And when members of your Sangha come into your garden, they can help you see that you still have a lot of beautiful trees and that you can enjoy the things that have not gone wrong within your landscape. That's the role, he says, that's the role that the Sangha can play when their energy of mindfulness is combined with yours. You will be able to touch beauty and happiness. Now, in yoga, the concept of community is called satsang. It comes from the root of sat, which means true, and sang, that saying, which means coming together. So the term itself is translated as truth seekers coming together. It's all about gathering with like-minded people. Yoga master Swami Kripalu once said that the singular best thing you can do for your spiritual growth is surround yourself with like-minded people. It seems to me that that's a pretty big deal, given all the ways that there are to cultivate spirituality. But honestly, it makes some sense. For one, we humans actually have a somewhat difficult time seeing ourselves honestly, both our attributes and our faults. So it often takes another person, or better yet, a group of people, to do that. Swami Kapalu has also said that the key to our hearts lies in the heart of another. Part of the truth of this is that we really can't see ourselves. Our inward experience is very different from someone else's outward experience. We don't see our gifts and our failings so clearly. It really does require others to see this. It takes another person, or going even larger, a community of people, to call us out when we are off base. The other part of the satsang is, this sort of satsang effect, is that the people we surround ourselves with have a very strong influence on us, psychologically, emotionally. You probably have felt that reality when you spend some time with energetic and loving people. They bring the same qualities out of you. Now, the opposite is also true. It is way too easy to pick up negativity from other people. And when we spend time with people who are a little more knowledgeable than us, in whatever arena, business, romantic life, spiritual growth, we start to internalize it. Spirituality is at the heart of community life. Spirituality has to do with faith, relationships, reflection, the moral fiber of our lives, as well as awe and wonder. But spirituality opens the door to a bigger world, to a cosmic world, and to the growing consciousness that we are interconnected with, the universe beyond our immediate experience. When we choose to commit this kind of that, intentional spiritual community, there are many implicit promises that we make as we join it. As we seek deeper relationships and work for a more just and peaceful world, some of the most important promises that we make are working for the common good, appreciating the giftedness of each person, participating in meals and being nurtured by each other, and being open to sharing what we have. Now, there are times on the journey where the road is unclear and where the road has many twists and turns. The spiritual journey is often a sort of wilderness zone. We hear it referred that way in the Bible many times. We need one another to journey together. Now, research also points to some of the qualities of an effective community. The core qualities, it says, that are needed to be present in a healthy spiritual community are kindness, generosity, cooperation, forgiveness, and mercy. So let's briefly think a little bit about, and I mean just a little bit about each one of those qualities. Kindness involves love, care, and respect. It is also actively aware of the vulnerability of others. Then, generosity takes kindness to the next level. Generosity is sort of the opposite of tit for tat. And it arises out of an abundance, not out of a scarcity. A key item for developing generosity is outreach, which brings us to cooperation. Cooperation is the opposite of competition. Competition can absolutely kill the community. Competition can kill a community, particularly a spiritual one. Cooperation always looks for a win-win. It's the commitment to work something out in a mutually satisfactory way. And frankly, this is the place where many people in church fall short, as they place their own personal agendas over and against the greater good of the community. Which brings us to forgiveness. Forgiveness recognizes our woundedness. Often, for hospitality to happen, forgiveness is the door opener. Especially when we're talking about hospitality for those internal members of the community. See, because of the grudges that we can sometimes hold, it is sometimes easier to welcome the stranger than it is to welcome a community member we know. Which, of course, brings us to forgiveness. Forgiveness is often related to accepting fallibility, a willingness to accept the human condition, making mistakes, not being perfect, being responsible for unintentional consequences are part of our human fallibility. And our fallibility is one of the things that everyone in the community shares. It is simply part of being human. And because of that, closely related to forgiveness, healthy spiritual communities need to actively practice mercy. Empathy and compassion are starting points to understand mercy. By walking in the shoes of another, we are moved to a deeper understanding, which helps us direct our energy towards being more compassionate and more merciful. In living in a community that puts all of these elements into practice, the community itself becomes a microcosm, a living example of what the world could be. It demonstrates how the world might function if we were to be committed to communal living, kindness, generosity, cooperation, forgiveness, and mercy. In a community like that, peace and justice are not actions of a community as much as ways of being community. Such community is built, that kind of life is built upon the strengths and the gifts of the collective members, and not on the problems and fears of individuals. And that's why spiritual community matters. It's why this spiritual community matters. It is why it is so important that each of us work diligently to keep the community together when we are temporarily out of the building. And I thank each and every one of you for the gifts that you bring to our spiritual community. That those gifts from each of us, help this community be what it is, and what the spiritual community is a unique and accepting space that is very much needed in the craziness of today's world. So thank you all. I'm going to simply conclude with these words from the book of Romans. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo each other in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Rejoice in hope and be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And extend hospitality to strangers.
I was just going to mention, there's a study, and it reminded me of the power of communal prayer, and there was a study they did, and I don't remember who did it, but it was
Probably, is it the one out of Duke?
I don't know. It was an international, like they had an international call for prayer where they were going to study the effect on the crime rate.
Oh, okay. That's not
the Duke. It was like a prayer meditation where they just got as many people as they could to pray for a certain period of time. And the crime rate went down significantly. I mean, it was really, really large amount. And it was, everywhere, all over the world. It was really powerful. And I don't think it was because of all the people that were committing crime stopping and praying. obviously, there's people that were already probably not going to be doing that type of thing. And so it was pretty amazing how it was affecting all other people just from that prayer. And
yeah.
I thought it was neat to see. I wish I could remember the group that did the study, but it was a neat study.
That's cool.
So this next piece that I'll play, this is by Mauro Giuliani. This is called Andante, Opus 139, number 1.
Distorted, exploitative, even destructive. We gossip and slander, we belittle and bully at times. We even find ourselves wanting vengeance. May we be reminded that these things, that way of being, points to a systemic problem. That way of being comes into our lives through systems of power, privilege, greed, and other measures of earthly success. May we see through our limited vision. May we recognize that our pursuit of these earthly successes, our desire to live life how we want to, frequently causes others in our world to suffer. May we move away from distorting and destroying relationships with our friends, our family, and our faith community. Let us be called to a more loving way. May we clothe ourselves in compassion and reach out to those in need and strive to understand their struggles and difficulties. Let us be called to a more loving way. May we move towards nurturing and valuing relationships by practicing the greatest commandment, to love God and to love others. Let us be called to a more loving way, and may we be ever more mindful of practicing that love with each person we meet. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know happiness and love throughout your life, and may your words and your actions share that happiness and love with all of those you meet. Amen. David, do we have one more song?
Sure, yeah.
This is a time for us from Romeo and Juliet by Nino Rota.